part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 100, part three. And nobody's called us.
The heavy metal episode, John.
The heavy metal episode. Should we call someone?
Sure. Who's online?
I don't know. Maybe Kinky Sex. All right, so...
One quick
science story. We're back. We're back in episode three.
Here's another stupid ass story, John. I don't know why they spend money on these studies. They could just come and ask us. Get this. A study confirms that muscles attract women. Think we could have told them that, John?
Oh, yeah.
The love muscles.
240
college students' results. Women rate muscular men as sexier, more physically dominant and volatile, and less committed to their mates than non-muscular men. Also, women indicated that their most recent short-term sex partners were more muscular than their other sex partners, and muscular men report more lifetime sex partners and more affairs with mated women. Muscular men were twice as likely to have had more than three sex partners than less built types.
Right.
Men with moderate muscularity are rated most attractive. Moderate muscularity, John.
Moderate.
Not somebody like me who's totally cut to shreds.
Cut to shreds, yeah.
And here
are
the theories.
You've had many.
I haven't had many because...
Recently.
Moderately muscularity is rated most attractive.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Theories. Muscles are cues of genes that increase offspring viability or reproductive success. However, too much muscle makes women more suspicious about men's romantic intentions. So women prefer less hulky guys as mates.
Ah.
So that's why, you know, all this hard work being cut to shreds.
Right.
As a specimen, I'm intimidating. I'm too intimidating, Jeff.
Yeah, you are.
All right, so turning on to political news, John.
Political news, and we
now,
have
last
the W
week,
right here. Listen. Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Now, last week we talked about how long must we sing this song? The W's approval ratings approaching those of Truman, who was the worst president ever. And the W is still concerned about his goddamn
legacy.
He's more concerned about that than the goddamn current events that are going down in the fucking shithole he's shitting the U.S. down.
Shitter.
Still concerned about his goddamn legacy,
his
John.
His goddamn legacy.
So we talked about his approval rating. It's in the shitter, John. And I couldn't think of any way for this MF-er to get out of the shitter because he's just so goddamn overwhelmed and incompetent. But I was listening to the Smodcast with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
Yeah.
And actually, Scott Mosier wasn't available, and Kevin Smith had a couple of his friends in who don't seem very bright at all. But
why isn't he called John and Scott? We should email him.
They came up with a way that the W's approval rating could not only come nowhere near the worst ever, but shoot through the fucking roof.
Wow.
This idea that they have would shoot the W's ratings right through the roof.
True to roof.
And it would have such a profound impact on the Republican Party moving forward here in the United States of America, John.
America's.
I've said enough, John. Go ahead and play the clip of Smodcast with Kevin Smith and friends.
Smodcast.
And they're going to come up with a reason. Not a reason, but
a theory. Thesis.
How the W can get his approval ratings out of the shitter.
Here it is.
Just think what a huge boon that would be to the Republican Party.
I apologize for the audio.
To George Bush be able to, you know, trot that dude out and the whole fucking get the presidential address.
Conan.
Oh, totally. Totally. Where he just cut off Tulsa Doom's head. But he's on TV, the ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, and he's just like, my fellow Americans. He pulls out a paper bag and lifts that dude's fucking head up. People would go ape shit. There would be Republicans in the White House for the next fucking 100 years.
What way do you mean ape shit? Do you mean good way or a bad way?
I think, depending on when you did, there would always be a bunch of fucking grousers and naysayers being like, that was uncalled for. But fucking, like, on the most primal level, as the country that was the focus of, you know, the September 11th attack, George Bush pulls fucking Osama bin Laden's head out of a fucking paper bag on live TV. Oh, my God. It would be astounding.
It would be better than the moon landing, which I don't believe in either.
Hands down. The most hard-hearted cynic, the most hardcore liberal would start to be like, I don't know, maybe abortion is wrong. Because it was just like, he did it. He got him, and he cut his fucking head off. Not only did they get him, and we didn't hear where they killed him in a cave, they cut his fucking head off, and the president's holding it in his fist like Conan on live TV.
Huh? How about
it? Yeah.
I forgot to mention that bin Laden at the beginning. You know, it's all about timing, but it's about information as well, John. It's about information, which I forgot to divulge.
No doubt.
He was talking about Osama bin Laden's head. So if the W walked out and pulled Osama bin Laden's head out of a paper bag at a press conference.
I don't think it'd do shit.
You don't think it would do shit?
I think they'd go, okay, he's fucking flown the coop now. This guy is fucked up.
He's
brought the guillotine out.
I disagree. You got the W supporters that are still with him. They would be overjoyed if he pulled Osama bin Laden head out. And then you got the...
Bin Laden?
Yeah, bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
And I would even be like, holy shit, man. We already know he's overwhelmed, incompetent, and crazy. He talks to the goddamn Lord.
Well, listen.
So that's already known to us.
Listen to what he's had to say about Iraq since 2003 to today. These are all sound bites from 2003 till today. And I think it's every two it changes years. So 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, and today. Here it is.
We're making progress.
We're making good progress in Iraq.
We've made a lot of progress on the ground.
We're making progress.
We're making really good progress in Iraq.
A year of strong progress.
We're progress toward victory.
Dramatic progress.
I'm encouraged by the progress.
And I see progress.
Progress. Progress. And that's important for the American people to understand.
There's been good progress.
Okay.
What is that progress?
How much more progress can there be? What is it, like little tiny bits of progress? Is it big chunks of progress? How do you measure the progress?
They don't. It's all the W. He's doing the right thing. Nobody else understands him. He's going to be vindicated by history. And we're just too goddamn stupid to understand this chimp.
There's some guys who have actually spoke out. There's a guy named John Nichols and Bruce Fine about impeachment. And did you have something you wanted to read there?
I did not, no.
Okay. There was Bill Moyers, who does a fantastic job of reporting on PBS. He is very he's not biased at all. He really attacks both sides of the issue. And he was interviewing these two guys. And one guy, Bruce Fine, and let me get the copy up here.
Copy. The documentation.
The documentation. It says here, Bill Moyers gets perspective on the role of impeachment in American political life from constitutional scholar Bruce Fine, who wrote the first article of impeachment against Bill Clinton, and the nation's John Nichols, author of The Genius of Impeachment. This is what Bruce Fine had to say about impeaching, writing the article of impeachment for Bill Clinton. The founding fathers expected an executive who tried to overreach and expected the executive who would be hampered and curtailed by the legislative branch. They, the Congress, have basically renounced, walked away from the responsibility to oversee and check. So he worked for Ronald Reagan. He's a conservative, but he thinks that impeachment should be put on the table for Bush and Cheney, especially Cheney.
Of course it should.
And he's
just
a conservative.
Just for incompetence alone.
This guy is a genius when it comes to the Constitution. He believes that basically the Constitution, the impeachment process is a cure for protecting the virus of the virus that infests the Constitution. So it's kind of like inoculation against infesting and corrupting the Constitution and overreaching in powers. This is what John Nichols has to say. He says, on January 20th, 2009, if George Bush and Dick Cheney are not appropriately held to account, this administration will hand off a toolbox with more powers than any president has ever had. More powers than the founding fathers could have imagined. And that box may be handed to Hillary Clinton, or it may be handed to Mitt Romney or Barack Obama or someone else. Whoever gets it, one of the things we know about power is that people don't give away the tools. And John Nichols, he writes for The Nation. He's a liberal. And he's saying, look, no matter what side I'm on as far as politics, and Bruce Fine as far as politics is concerned, we think that as far as the Constitution is concerned, if you hand over way too much of this power to a president, he's just going to hand it on to the next and the next, and it's going to get a
build.
It's just going to build into this big thing, and they consider him pretty much King George. But here's something John Nichols had to say on impeachment on the Bill Moyers show.
How does the Scooter Libby affair play into this? People seem really angry about this one. This is, to me, where the tipping point came.
If it wasn't for the president's commutation of Scooter Libby's sentence, we would not be sitting at this table and talking right now.
About impeachment?
About impeachment. Now, should it be the one that tipped it? I think Bruce and I would probably both agree no. There are other more important issues. But the Scooter Libby affair gets to the heart of what I think an awful lot of Americans are concerned about with this administration and with the executive branch in general, that it is lawless, that it can rewrite the rules for itself, that it can protect itself. And, you know, the founders anticipated just such a moment. If you look at the discussions in the Federalist Papers, but also at the Constitutional Convention, when they spoke about impeachment, one of the things that Madison and George Mason spoke about was the notion that you needed the power to impeach, particularly as regards pardons and commutations, because a president might try to take the burden of the law off members of his administration to prevent them from cooperating with Congress in order to expose wrongdoing by the president himself. And so Madison said that is why we must have the power to impeach, because otherwise a president might be able to use his authority and pardons and such to prevent an investigation from getting to him.
Fucking A. I don't care if you like our show or don't like our show, but that shit they're talking about, people got to really think about, because that's the kind of bullshit that could continue on and on and on with every president.
Well, and our founding fathers, when they put this government together, they thought, what was it, every 20 years or every 40 years?
Should be a revolution.
There would be a revolution.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we haven't talked about
is... And it'll mean like some sort of war. They mean a revolution as far as not every revolution means there's got to be a war entitled to, you know, part of it. It's got a revolution means to revolt. And it might be the impeachment. It might be throwing people out of office, revoting in a whole new set of politicians, a total different party, a new party. That's another form of revolt.
Right on, John. And the thing we talk about the W's ratings are in the shitter, Cheney's in the shitter, but also Congress is in the shitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the midterms, people voted Congress in to get us out of Iraq. And to go after this administration for their fucking incompetence. and the Democrats in Congress are laying over. They're not doing a goddamn thing because they're waiting for this president to just get out of office. And then they get all these tools, like you said, tools, John, of power to work with and do whatever they want and get kickbacks or whatever the fuck they're in it for. Because they ain't in it to serve the American people. No. They made that pretty goddamn clear. And, yeah, if this does continue and Congress doesn't do anything about this and impeachment is not on the table and impeachment is not aggressively pursued, there will be a revolution, I believe.
And there's so many things that can – there's a – impeachment is not a legal issue. It's not – they're not going to go to jail or anything. But articles of impeachment, if passed through the Senate, will kick the president out. It's basically firing him. And I know one of the big concerns is that you fire this president, and maybe it's scarily enough, it might be better that Bush is there because Cheney becomes president.
Cheney.
But
get rid of both of them.
Bruce Fein thinks Cheney's even worse. And more of the public thinks that Cheney should be impeached rather than Bush. And according to Fein, he says that Cheney has asserted presidential power to create military commissions, which combine the functions of judge, jury, and prosecutor in the trial of war crimes.
How roll?
Claimed authority to detain American citizens as any enemy combatants. and definitely at Guantanamo Bay.
Gitmo.
On the president's say-so alone, initiated kidnappings, secret detentions, and torture in Eastern European prisons of suspected international terrorists, championed presidential power to torture in contravention of federal statutes and treaties, engineered the National Security Agency's warrantless domestic surveillance program targeting American citizens on American soil in contravention of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978. And the list goes on, okay?
How about just for being the most goddamn incompetent, overwhelmed person in history?
How about impeachment for sneering? For sneering. Can you impeach for sneering? And these guys discuss it, and even John Nichols and Bruce Fein. Bruce Fein adds to it, but John Nichols kind of brings it down and gives it perspective. Can you impeach for sneering?
Sneering is not an impeachable offense.
But sneering in isolation is not. But this is combined with all the other things he's done outside the law.
That's Bruce
Fein. Intelligence gathering, the enemy combatant status, the kidnappings in dungeons abroad, all secret and never disclosing anything to Congress or the American people. Indeed, we couldn't even be discussing some of these issues here, like the Foreign Intelligence Collection Program, if it weren't leaked to the New York Times. If he had his way, this would be secret forever.
Sneering is not an impeachable offense. But the founders, who had recently fought a revolution against a king named George, would tell you that monarchical behavior, the behavior of a king, acting like a king, is an impeachable offense. You need not look for specific laws or statutes. What you need to look for is a pattern of behavior that says that the presidency is superior not merely to Congress, but to the laws of the land, to the rule of law. And that is why we ought to be discussing impeachment, not because of George Bush and Dick Cheney, but because we are establishing a presidency that does not respect the rule of law.
Hear, hear, sneering, thumbing your nose at the rule of law.
Well, in his latest thumb the nose is he ordered White House counsel Harriet Myers, that person that he nominated for the Supreme Court, which is a goddamn joke. He ordered her to defy a congressional subpoena and refuse to testify before a House panel investigating the U.S. attorney firings.
Right.
So again, it's like, hey, we're an administration clouded in secrecy. Nobody needs to know what we do. I'm right. You're wrong. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And
you know, Harriet Meyer could defy that order. She could say, fuck that. I'm not employed by the W anymore. I could say what I want. As long as it's not classified, and I have nothing to hide. Yeah, sure, I'm going to go do it. Why did she do that?
Who knows?
You know, because she has something to hide.
And she has a law background, apparently, but yeah, she can't understand the seriousness of this.
Yeah, she could figure her way around this, but no.
You want to be patriotic? Get up there and tell the goddamn truth.
The truth. That is patriotism.
That's right.
Penn Jillette said something really funny once, and that was two guys arguing about burning the flag. And one guy wanted to burn it. Another guy wanted to stop him from burning it. And the third guy, the third guy was the guy selling red, white, and blue hot dogs to the whole event. And that's the most patriotic thing you could do.
Fucking A, man.
Capitalism.
Well, you know, this whole administration is based on fear. Going back to September 11th, this is a theme that every goddamn speech he gives. It's about Al-Qaeda and protecting Americans, and we got to fight them over there so they don't come over here and blah, and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all based on fear. I'm going to give you a little quiz, John. Who said this? Who said this? Quote, voice or no voice, the people can always be bought to the bidding of their leaders. This is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in every country.
Shit!
Who said that, John?
Well, it's a Nazi from the Nuremberg trials.
That's right.
Shit. His fucking name.
He shares the same last name with the creator of The Simpsons, kind of.
It's like Grossberg.
Hermann Göring.
Göring, yeah.
That's what he had to say.
Hermann Göring.
That's the same shit this regime is trying to pull off.
Yeah, I know. I actually sent an email with that line to somebody, and it might have even been special ed, and he was like, holy shit. My wife, too. Oh, my God, that says it all right there. I mean, it's something that you could send to any intelligent person and say who said this. And right away, they kind of like say it happened. Somebody said it recently because this is what seems like what's going on. And you say, no, this is from the Nazi trials, the Nuremberg trials, and Göring said it. No. Yeah.
All right, turning to lighter.
Oh, no, I had a story from Henry Rollins.
I just got a quick story about John McCain.
Want to be real
you hear
light?
About John McCain?
Oh, yeah, the fucking nut job. I wrote that guy once. He wrote me back. Did I tell you that?
No.
I can't find the letter.
What did he say?
I wrote him. You remember the whole thing about the investigation about the Downing Street memos?
Right, right on. Yeah,
and
conspiracy.
I wrote him, and I said, hey, you need to investigate this more. This is ridiculous. I'm from Illinois. I'm not from Arizona. But, you know, at one point, I think you're going to run for president again. I'd like to vote for you. But I think this is a serious issue that affects all Americans, and you need to investigate it further. And he mailed me back, actually signed the letter. I have it somewhere. I don't know where it is. Saying that they have looked into it, and they think it's a bunch of hearsay, and they're not going to look any further into it. So fuck off.
Yeah.
So he'll never get my vote, that fucking little chimp of a whack job.
He won't even have an opportunity to get your vote because his campaign is pretty much over.
It's in the shitter.
It's in the shitter. You know why it's in the shitter, John?
Because he's not very much of a stylist.
Reportedly, he's complaining about his aides forcing him to wear gay sweaters in order to look younger. According to one insider, the nitpicking was the crescendo of a tirade by the Arizona senator, in which he blistered aides about the minutiae of the campaign. McCain reportedly declared his frustration with being told to don the perceived homosexual outerwear in order to look younger and more approachable. So his campaign, everybody's jumped ship. His advisors, they all left.
Fuck off, you nut.
I don't know if the money's still coming in or not, but this guy's a major flip-flopper.
The W was right. You are nuts.
He is nuts. And then they put Bill Cosby gay sweaters on him.
The only thing the W's ever been right about is him being
all
nuts.
Been out of shape. And so I thought that was pretty funny. But you can continue on with your W there.
Oh, I was it was a Henry Rollins thing.
Rollins.
It's just a couple of questions of a full interview. You can see it on popmatters.com. This is an interview with Henry Rollins by Chris Catania. She asked, so how was your recent trip to Iran? And Henry Rollins says, well, I had gone to Iraq with the USO, and that was very, hesitates a little bit and says, interesting. Then I took a trip on my own to Iran just to look around, and that was a really good time. It's a lot more peaceful in Iran than in Iraq at the, in the present time. I met a lot of interesting people, and I was able to walk around the city without feeling like I was any in any kind of danger. That was really cool. I went because all I hear in the U.S. media about Iran is that they're going to kill us all, and our lives are all in grave danger. And that may be true, but I'd like to think there is more than one story out there. So that's why I went. So she asks, where, were there any misconceptions challenged by what you saw or heard during your trip? And Henry says, I think the Bush administration really wants a war with Iran or something that ends ultimately with us against them and with America's safety at stake. And the media seems to be going along with that. It very well may be true that Iran has a plan for us all to die. I'm not a fan of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Iran's president, but I know that usually the government is one way and the people are another. And the last time Bush said a country was a threat, it was Iraq. It turned out not to be true. Now, when he says another country with oil that is right next to Iraq is in a grave danger, I just can't go along with that willingly so easily. So that's why I went to check it out. I went just as a tourist on the street. I have no great intelligent or in-depth knowledge of a classified nature, but I saw a bunch of people with their kids, and I met a lot of people who like America very much, but are also scared of America and its president. And I hope I get a chance to go back there. But again, it's always the same thing. You meet these great people in these places, and you wonder if there can be an alternative to speaking about people in other countries with such ignorance and to creating a sense of fear because you don't know anything about the culture. And this administration is really putting this country, well, at least the media seems to cave into this and its people on an interesting perception of other countries that is really not very healthy. I just don't think we need we know the whole story and end up being very insulting. And for America, that is very dangerous.
Fuck you!
It's an excellent point he makes about the people don't necessarily go along with the leader.
Right.
It's certainly happening here in the States.
And I've read so many stories about that. And actually, there was a girl on Penn Jillette's show. That's why I love that show, because I didn't always agree with Penn Jillette, especially, remember I did that whole diatribe about the secondhand smoke and all that shit.
Right.
And he actually was interviewed about it, and they found more data on it. And he said in the next season they were going to rebut some of their statements.
Mm-hmm.
And they always thought that really their show wasn't to be so much about secondhand smoke as being this nuisance and it's a bunch of BS. It was more about forcing owners to ban smoking from their restaurants, which I always thought was unfair too. But anyway, so he had a friend that was on his show who was from Iran, and her father and brother or whatever were jailed many times because they speak out against this unjust government that is in Iran. And there's a lot of people, especially students and younger, smart, intelligent people that are kind of like our culture. They're really fans of America. And because of some of this weird sectarian shit and Israel and all that stuff, they elected a president that was more aggressive against that.
Mm.
And so now they're really nervous that our W of a president is going to really fuck things up.
I'd be nervous, too. This guy's insane.
Oh, yeah.
He talks to God. He's right. You're wrong. History's going to prove me right. Oh, and about the history, we talked about his legacy. Do you know who else is saying that the W is going to have a great legacy? Do you know? Do you know?
No.
Joseph Lieberman said that Bush's ratings among historians will be greater than his ratings in the polls today.
But that was,
in an interview with right-wing radio host Hugh Hewitt, Senator Joe Lieberman praised the W's policies in Iraq and predicted that Bush will be remembered by historians as a great president. Hewitt said, well, that's fascinating. Last question. How do you think history is going to evaluate the W? Lieberman.
Well, I personally believe, look, mistakes were made. And I know the polls are down, but I think on the larger issue of our time, which is the rise of extremist Islamists, that he will be judged as the president who saw the threat. And in the midst of an unpopular war, he struck with it. And so I think overall, over time, his ratings among the historians will be greater than his ratings in the polls today.
Lieberman's comments echo those by Rush Limbaugh, John, who said in May, long afterward, all dead and gone when historians are... He sounds like Phil, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Who are not yet born, begin to write about this era. They're going to place George Bush in the upper echelon of presidents who had a great vision for America, who looked beyond our shores, who didn't just restrict himself to domestic policy niceties. It's interesting that now, with the war more unpopular than ever and violence skyrocketing, Lieberman decides Bush is a great president. In contrast, in May 2003, when Lieberman was competing for the Democratic nomination for president, he said the Bush administration
seems to have been unprepared for the quick victory it predicted.
Similarly, in 2003, Lieberman stated, I am shocked at how unprepared the Bush administration is. But what they do afterward, they've left a vacuum for which terrorists and Saddam loyalists are enemies.
I've jumped into, John.
He's a fucking idiot. And you got his voice wrong.
Yeah, I do.
It's more like Elmer Fudd.
Rush and Limbaugh may not be aware, but historians are already debating
Rush
Bush's
and
legacy.
Limbaugh?
And Lieberman. In fact, Rolling Stone recently wrote, many historians are now wondering whether Bush, in fact, will be remembered as the very worst president in all of American history.
Without a doubt, because John Nichols and Bruce Fein, when they, Bill Moyers asked him a question about, you know, you wrote the articles, impeachment, the first ones, for Clinton. How does that differ from now? And he basically said, in Clinton's defense, if he had just apologized or had some sort of remorse about his sexual affair, perjury is a punishable offense. It's enough in crimes and misdemeanors to punish him, to actually impeach him for, because you don't know what else he's lying about. But if he'd have said, hey, I fucked up. I cheated on my wife. I lied to the American people about it. It really is my business, F all you, but I apologize for lying about it. If he'd have done that, this guy said it wouldn't have been a problem. The difference is that in this situation, you cannot apologize for the NSA, the Abu Ghraib. You can't apologize for this war without any real declaration, any real reason to go to war.
And taking our rights away.
Absolutely.
What's the apology for that?
That you can't apologize for that. So definitely, it's a bigger and more difficult thing. Clinton getting away with a little white lie about banging some other broad or getting a blowjob in the Oval Office is something that you hand down to another president is no big deal. That president could actually have some sort of moral value that says, yeah, or moral compass that says, yeah, I shouldn't do that just because I'm a husband, not because I'm a president, because I'm a husband. They politicize that. That's something that, so what? If he didn't get impeached for it and another president did, it's no big deal. It's not going to drive us into a shithole or a dangerous situation for another attack by Al-Qaeda or anything else. This, what the W is doing, is something that's probably not, is irreversible. If you don't impeach him and you don't set that kind of precedent, he's going to hand off that to the next president and the next president. And like you said, it's going to snowball.
Well, and it goes back with Clinton, what's private and what's public. In my opinion, if he's doing something that doesn't affect his job performance, and I guess an argument could be made that getting blowjobs in the oral office by
oral
an intern
office,
is going to affect his job performance.
Sure.
But that's a private matter between him and his wife,
yeah,
and whoever's sucking his cock, you know? So who really gives a shit? And that's the what I always thought about it. Why are they going after him for this shit? I mean, that's between him and his wife, and they got to work that out and whatever. It's not part of the national discourse, John.
Right. Domestic policy. It's not part of international policy.
Where in the W's offense, it's all about the nation and stripping the Constitution and taking our rights away and the fear-mongering and paying off his pals at Halliburton and cronyism and commutant Scooter Libby who obstructed justice.
You could look at it this way. You could say Bill Clinton fucked Monica Lewinsky. George W. fucked the citizens of the United States of America.
Fucking A. And he's too goddamn incompetent to even realize it. At least Clinton was competent enough to know.
He apologized. He ended up coming up on air and apologized to the American people for doing some things that were inappropriate. And he apologized for it. That takes a lot of balls.
Balls. Yeah, it takes a lot of balls to whip it out in the oral office, doesn't it?
Shove a cigar up somebody's coos.
Well, he probably rationalized that, hey, I'm the leader of the free world. I should get
a little extra
fringe benefits in the oral office.
Shove a cigar up her coop.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. You have any other politics? I have one more story.
No.
Sanatorium, or do you say sanitarium, went on to clearly imply that terror attacks will occur inside America, which will alter the body politic.
Sanatorium.
Whatever. And lead to the reversal of the anti-war sentiment now dominating the country. Between now and November, a lot of things are going to happen, and I believe that by this time next year, the American public's going to have a different view of this war, and it will be because, I think, of some unfortunate events that, like, we're seeing unfolding in the UK. But I think the American public's going to have a very different view. So he's saying that after we get attacked in the States, we're all going to be gung-ho to do the fuck we're doing in Iraq.
I don't know why, because, you know, when they bombed the Twin Towers, obviously Clinton got lucky, but the FBI was investigating it, and they ended up finding the guys, and they put them to trial and everything. The W hasn't done jack shit.
He hasn't done jack shit, and the whole W thing is we got to fight them over here so we don't have to fight them here. And if they end up striking inside the United States again, that's it. The W's approval rating is going to be like,
he fucked up.
Goddamn 2%. I mean, people are going to storm the White House and drag that guy out.
They should. They should.
Because I don't know what the sanitarium is thinking.
Sanatorium.
Whatever. Because that's not the way people are going to think. They're not going to think, yeah, let's go get him in Iraq. They're going to think, what the fuck is this administration doing?
This whole time since 9/11.
Yeah, since 9/11, they've totally fucked up everything.
Two times on the same president's watch?
They can't get anything right.
The Democrats. The Democrats did it. It's all their fault.
Yeah, it's them.
If we were able to instill martial law amongst the people, we would be safer.
Because they want to withdraw from Iraq, and they want to set timetables, so it's their fault. What a bunch of shit. Total shit, John.
Yeah.
Total shit.
What up?
Well, that's all I have about the W and his dumb ass. Oh, hold on. Right on time again.
Wow. No doubt.
Let me get the door.
Can you get the door, dude?
Get up.
Get the door. What's up?
Whoa! Sorry about that.
Well, come back in already. Jesus Christ, walk back.
Ah, fucker. Come on. Get back to your mic. There you go.
All right, cool. What is he doing?
That's his new newsroom.
All right, man. Whenever you're ready, turn it over to Phil.
Whenever he's ready.
Oh, Phil?
Yeah. Is he ready?
Yeah, I don't know. He got his gotten his shit. And
yes, I've got my gear on, and I'm ready to deliver the news on this historic episode 100, part 3. And I am nobody's little bitch, okay?
You are.
Errol Wilf.
Errol Wilf. No doubt. So, want to talk to Professor Tom?
Are you asking me as a newsman if I'd like to talk to Professor Tom? Of course I'd like to talk to Professor Tom. I love Professor Tom.
Professor Tom.
Kinky Sex Radio.
Mute Phil's mic. I don't want him talking to Professor Tom.
Shut him down.
All right.
All right, he's muted. So, anyway, let's see if we could get him on the line.
All right.
He told me to give him 2 seconds.
2 seconds?
I don't know. Yes.
1,000.
That's what I said.
2,000.
No doubt. Let's see what he has to say. Anyway, so we're talking about the W. Are you yawning?
Yes.
Are you fucking yawning?
I had a difficult week, John.
Oh.
Starting with the gig on Friday night.
Hello?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Since
1, 2, 3, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. We have Professor Tom on the line. We haven't talked to in a
ages,
Brazilian years.
Many
Hello?
Moons.
Can you hear us?
Many moons, John.
Can you hear us? Hello.
And again, we're having some technical difficulties. Either that or Professor Tom is very shy.
No.
Check 1, 2.
Hey, hello.
Can you hear us,
though? Hello?
That is the key.
Can you hear us?
1, 2, 3. 1, 2. 1, 2.
1, 2, 3. Can you hear us? Hello, Tom?
I wonder if he knows what 2007 minus 60 is.
Hello?
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Hello?
Check 1, 2, 3. Macintosh. All right, hang
we're
on.
Here.
Let me
we're
sign
here.
On
we're here.
We're here.
All right. Sign on another computer.
Nice.
You get to hear it here live.
Hear it here live. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
That was Professor Tom.
Professor
Kinky Sex
Tom,
Radio.
Did you hear him? Okay. Thank
I love
you so
exchanging
much.
Ideas. Isn't it great? That's what it's all about.
When a plan comes together, don't you? You just love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I got like a few minutes left on my laptop, and it's going to blow up.
Blow.
It's going to blow. No doubt. Anyway, so, we got that already.
Right.
So
Phil's ready to go.
Who else is ringing? Phil's ready to go?
Phil is ready to go.
Should we run that?
Sure.
All right.
It's your award-winning TTN News.
Thank you, John.
Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Our first story tonight!
Ancient stone tablet finally deciphered proves that the Old Testament is historically accurate.
Suck it, atheists!
The British Museum yesterday hailed a discovery with clay tablet in its collection as a breakthrough for biblical archaeology. Proof of the accuracy of the Old Testament.
Wow.
The cuneiform inspection of a tablet dating from 595 BC, or do you say 595 BC, has been deciphered for the first time, revealing a reference to an official at the court of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that proves the historical existence of a figure mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. It's rare evidence, Professor Tom, in a non-biblical source of a real person other than kings featured in the Bible. And I am assuming Professor Tom is still not with us.
Yeah, no, not yet.
All right, then, should I continue?
Yeah.
I need my little stinger.
All right.
Next story, okay. John. In related news.
All right.
A
Hello?
I know that it's playing through my device. Try this. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Out of sight.
Can't hear you.
All right. Keep going, Phil.
In related news, the Vatican declares itself the one true faith, so all other faiths can just suck it as well. Next story, John.
Oh, right.
Still nothing.
No doubt.
Apparently, Bobby Brown is still touring. The My Prerogative singer just canceled the show in New Zealand.
Can you dialing?
In related news, all 12 fans that bought tickets are very upset.
I'm going to put you on hold and do a test call.
I don't think this is working, John.
Go ahead, man. It's fine.
Next story, John.
You got to say next story, and then I know.
80 books in high school library stacks are corrupting students with tales of abortion, homosexuality, and atheism. That's according to the West Palm Beach mother who has appealed to the school board to remove the books from her shelves of Drufus, a Royal Palm Beach high school. Laura Lopez has been fighting since September to ban these books that she says promote sin and lies. Committees at both schools have already shot down her request. So has Superintendent Art Johnson. On Wednesday, she will ask the full school board to intervene. Lopez admits she hasn't read a single one of the objectionable books cover to cover.
I can hear you.
Next story, John.
Wait, he can hear us. Can you hear us?
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Can you hear us?
He probably called somebody else, and he's talking to them, and he can hear them.
Ah.
But he can't hear us.
Right.
Right on.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4.
This proves that we do no pre or post production, John.
That's right.
Proof.
That is absolutely
that
correct.
That when a train wreck occurs, you can witness it.
You can witness the train wreck on
the computer, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Let's listen to Professor Tom think to himself.
Please tell me you guys aren't actually recording this for the podcast.
Yes, we are.
Train wreck of technology.
Oh, you must have heard us.
Exciting listening for the TTN fans.
No doubt. Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Hey, what's up, man?
What happened? What did you do? How did you fix it?
I'm a technical genius.
We've been listening to you for the past 5 minutes, PT.
Oh, nice. Coming a little hot. A
little hot. We're coming in a little hot, John.
How's that?
Perfect. Right there. So happy 100th, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
Thanks, man. We haven't talked to you in ages.
Ages. Many moons.
Months. I'm getting echo, John.
You getting echo on yourself?
Bit. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, I'm getting myself.
1, 2.
You.
So what's up with Kinky Sex? When's the latest episode coming out? When's the newest one?
Don't know. I mean, I pretty much wait for people to contact me at this point. It's become a very passive kind of podcast.
What's the last episode you've done?
Let me see. I got a couple in the queue. Let me think what the last one that went out was. I got a guy that contacted me about CBT. Still getting echo, John.
Really?
And but he never followed up. That's the problem, is the follow-up. And with me being on the road.
Hello.
Cock and ball torture, Professor Tom was referring to. CBT, John. Cock and ball torture.
Hello, you still there? Yep. Uh-oh. We lost.
I think I'm with Paulie B on this one.
He's there. Come on. Hello?
I can't hear you.
Hello?
What did you press, man? What buttons are you pressing over
I
there?
I got skills here. Hold on a second. I just switched up.
Yeah, you got skills.
Hello.
Right.
Hey, there you go.
Oh,
got
there
it.
We go. All right. Yeah, you're going to get echo. I don't have it dialed in.
That's
right.
Okay. I can deal with it. I'm a podcasting professional, damn it.
So where are you at right now? Oh, shit.
Every middle episode.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in Chicago at the moment. Let's see.
You're back at home?
I am. I'm back at home for the moment.
Nice. How's the summer tour going?
Really good. I've got I got some time off right now for the next week. We're writing a show that we premiere with it's a comedy show, actually, for my circus, that we're premiering at the Playground Theater in September. It's on Belmont.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's been taking all my time. This comedy troupe is not only doing live comedy, but we're mixing video pieces, audio pieces, and live music into one show, which, as you can imagine, technical nightmares. It takes hours now editing video, you know.
Yeah, I'm familiar with technical nightmares. We're having one right now.
We are not. We're fine. What's wrong with it?
Is the 100th episode cursed?
It could be. It could be. It could be.
We might have to scrap the whole thing, John.
Why?
Do it again.
Do what again? The whole 100?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we should. We should. We should do an ad hoc 100. He's right.
Do a tight hour.
Yeah. Can we do a tight hour? There's no way.
So when you start the show up, it's going to be local?
The comedy show is. The comedy show is local. We are debating taking it on the road.
All right.
And then we start touring colleges with the circus again next year. Pretty heavy. He's got a new agent. He's really excited about it, so he seems to think he can fill us up. And I'm going to Alaska this month for a week.
For business or pleasure?
For business.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Nice.
So, but I mean, I get crew quarters and all that. I kind of insist on not crew quarters. I get passenger quarters.
You get what?
Most entertainers, they give you crew quarters, right?
Oh, crew quarters, yeah.
But that's bullshit. I don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really small.
They're not bad. I mean, everything is still free, but you have places you can't go, and so I don't do that. Like, look, are they giving passengers, even if it's less money?
Yeah,
give right. I'll go work.
Right.
Right on, man.
It's out of sight.
All right, so when this show opens up, John and Scott should expect tickets then, right?
Yeah, come on down.
Out of sight. Where's that at?
September, the Playground Theater on Belmont.
Oh, what is it? Playground?
Yeah, go to thewarheroes.com.
Thewarheroes.com. Is that like the sandwich hero or the hero?
H-E-R-O-E-S.com.
I think I figured out your echo problem. Do you have echo now?
1, 2. I do not.
I figured it out, man.
Excellent. And then right at the top, you'll see upcoming shows, September 22nd, 29th, October 6th. It's just Saturdays is what it is, October 6th and October 13th, and 10 p.m. Saturday nights.
Cool. You hear that, folks?
P.m.
Professor Tom.
The War Heroes.
And you can see there's videos on the website, so you can see like some of the samples of what we've done. There's cartoons and comics and website videos and writing and everything.
Nice.
A full multimedia approach.
We're going. We got to do it, right?
With of course Rick? We do.
Should be fun. Our last show was we did it with a group called the Very Real Cops, who were really funny. We're hoping to bring them back again. So it should be a nice hour of really funny Chicago-style comedy.
That's out of sight, man. We should maybe we should open up, you know, with some band music.
The problem is at the Playground, any other venue, yes, the Playground doesn't even have really good enough audio for us to be heard.
Why don't you just say fuck off, you losers?
No, no, dude.
You never call me back.
I would love to have you guys out to open up, but the Playground is like they run back-to-back improv shows, and we have difficulty even getting in there to set up our theater, you know, our projector, just because we're different.
But
all they run is improv, improv, improv.
You're going to do your magic stuff, right?
No, I don't actually do magic.
Escape from a freaking straitjacket? No, that's not magic?
Well, no, it's more, I mean, it's like fire eating, because it's real.
Oh.
I mean, there's no trick to it. Like, I dislocate my shoulder, I explain it to the audience, and I slip it off. Like, it's just, it's more a freak show.
It's
like,
not
fire eating is not a magic trick.
It's not an illusion, like Doug
Henning.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't care, but I really hate magicians. Like, really, really hate magic shows a lot. Like, I've never seen a good one.
Really?
Never.
Chris Angel, Mind Freak?
No, God, no. Have you ever seen a stage show? It's exactly like Copperfield, but he doesn't wear a shirt and has longer hair. Like, it's that. There's dancing goyles, and there's glitter, and it's, you know, it's all Siegfried.
Well, I know. It's all fake, but it's
no,
it's
no, it's
fun
not that.
Watch.
It's not. It's cheesy. And, I mean, again, if you're taking your whole family, it's different.
Yeah.
But if you're going there with a date and you're both grown-ups, I mean, it's my personal problem. Everybody loves magic but me. Like, you want to see a card trick? No. No, thank you.
I'm pretty good, though,
now, if
man.
If you want to swallow a sword, I swallow 3 swords and then twist them. Which is what I consider jugglery.
Well,
jugglery
I've swallowed a sword, too.
Scott's doesn't count.
That's what I was going to say, man. Damn!
That's not funny.
Take it on the road.
That's not funny.
I've swallowed a flesh sword.
A sword.
Sword.
Did Phil McCracken Wickham ever do his stand-up comedy set? I'd like to hear that.
No, he didn't.
That
would be
awesome. He'd have to do it in a fur coat.
He's headed out to the UK to do that with Punky, but I don't know. You muted him, didn't you, John?
So yeah. He's in. Why he gets in the time machine every time now, I don't know.
Maybe we'll get him for 101 to do the routine here on the show.
That'd be fun. You could also, the engineer of the year there,
right,
could make it sound exactly like there's a live audience.
Engineer of last year. Okay?
Of last year.
Of last year.
I'm nobody this year.
Well, you know why you're nobody this year?
Why is that?
They didn't even have the category.
Well, they didn't have the category, and I don't have the home studio.
They didn't have best production as a category?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, I don't know.
That's
I didn't see it.
That is silly.
It was kind of fun last year, but this, you know, I felt after it was all done, it was kind of a stigma or it was like a click.
Set the expectations too high?
Well, certain people just automatically got in. You kind of felt like, okay, this was all of the smart and nice dudes' buddies, you know, that all made it. Now, it was completely like a democratic thing,
Yeah.
But it was like a this weird like community of podcasters click. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's going to happen anytime you have a brand new. I'm sure the first Academy Awards were like that too.
No. No.
Like, so small. You know what I mean? Like there's just not enough people to make it anything other than clicks.
It could be.
Cuz I think I knew everyone who was nominated too, and I talked to every one of them on Skype at one time or another. And that never happens with any other award except, you know, 2 years it was 2 years old when you guys
Right.
were nominated.
Right.
But
we're very appreciative of that, you know.
And I think that guy, what was it, Hitman? Was that his name?
Yeah,
I think
Hitman.
He tried to make it as non-clickish as possible. He certainly
But you can't.
There's
no way possible.
No. I think there is in like 10 years once there's like 3,000 people voting.
Because even Pauly B and I tried to figure out a way to rig it so that we would get all the votes. All of our pod riot people would get the votes.
Yeah,
and
we did fine. If I hadn't stopped podcasting, I would have won. I mean, because I came in second, you know. I think Swingercast won it, or
something like that.
Fun Talk Sex or something. What I forget. I think if I hadn't just stopped, then
you went on hiatus, right?
Yeah. Actually, I think that was when I went on tour. Which was the beginning of the end, because after that I was like, it just snowballed on me. One job's led to another, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It is nice to be so busy working at what you love that you don't have time for your hobby.
Right.
But it is annoying when you also enjoy your hobby.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to choose between the two. Like you guys were talking about, was the last episode you were talking about, the difference between choosing, you know, to earn more than your age.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got a family. For me, it's my love. It's not really my family. You know, my family's my wife. And,
yeah.
Know, we can live $8,000 a year if we had to. But it's, you know, when people ask you, do you want to do shows in our theater, it's hard to say no.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the passion. The passion drives you.
Absolutely.
Talking about passion. And that's what keeps me coming back every week. You know, even when today I had other shit to do, I was like, oh, man, I could be doing all this other stuff. But I get jacked up to do this every week, and I get jacked up to play. But it's never got to the point, and that was probably maybe a confidence issue on my part, that I never jacked it up to the point where I would say, okay, this is what I want to do for a living. Once I got married and had kids, I thought, ah, I've really screwed up now.
Well, you got to play safer,
I think.
Yeah. than you can when you're single. You know, because when you're single, you can burn up all your credit cards or whatever and then just knuckle down, pick up a second job, dig your way out of debt. You can't do that when you're married with two kids, because then your kids, what, they don't see their father for a year and a half?
Right.
Like, or the amount of debt you can rack up with two kids is totally different than the amount of debt you can rack up as a single guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I was thinking, Scott was talking about the lovely missus. Might try and put the kibosh on the podcast. You should play for her what John was talking about in the episode or episode before that, where he talked about a space for him to go and play away from the wife and her away from him at the same time. Like, this is my clubhouse. I'm going to go in here and play, center myself, do my thing, and get away from you and the kids in a good way, and then come back and be 100% instead of being resentful.
Right on, Professor Tom.
She might not be thinking of it that way, that if she gives you this alone time, then you come back 100% committed to her.
Recharged,
and the family. Exactly, instead of being half on because you don't have an outlet.
I'm pretty much half on all the time regardless. No matter what I do, I'm always half.
He's half on.
Yeah.
Lackadaisical.
Huh?
That's
what?
Him, yeah. Well,
yeah, what?
My
what?
Knuckles are dragging.
I just read an article today. I didn't bring it in, but there was a study, and it said that couples who spend time apart last longer than couples who spend all their time together.
Yeah.
Do you know what the most solid marriages are by profession?
Hmm.
Pilot.
Pilot. Ah.
They have the lowest divorce rate. Abstinence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, absence.
Absence. Abstinence.
One of the two, I forget.
I was going to say,
well,
but
no, that's just
minute.
It. Like, if you're a pilot, like, it's a treat when you're around the wife and kids. I don't know how good it would be to have kids if you have a too far away lifestyle, but like, one thing I love about going on the road for three, you know, people ask, you know, with Christine and I, like, you know, how we stay married 6 years, no problems. And a lot of it is, I think, because I'm gone a lot.
Do you find you need to mark your territory before you leave?
No, what do you mean?
just nail it really hard just before you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you definitely want a little farewell. I think you do it actually harder on the way in, though, when you're like, hey, it's been 3 weeks. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
There's no small talk.
Hell no. Take your shit off now.
There's no dinner. There's no movie. We'll do that afterwards.
Put on some Barry White. Hey, baby, take your bra off.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to after we turn off the mics tonight, you know, because we're going to go for 9 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Without the...
You're going to be calling me after week number two. Dude, man, we got to do a podcast.
I am not.
I can't take this.
I can't. It's physically impossible for me to do in the next
North
3 weeks.
North Carolina. I don't know what to do.
Is that where you're going on vacation or whatever? It's North Carolina?
No, I got to take my daughter down to a all-girls camp. She's going to be away from home for the first time.
Oh,
so I got to drive her down on weekend, and I got to pick her up the next weekend, and I got a weekend in between that I got other plans. She's nine.
Oh, man, that's going to be awesome.
Totally.
I loved camp. Camp is the bomb.
You went away for camp?
I did.
I know, the other counselors
like
and stuff.
7 and 8 or something like that.
And then you got,
it's really fun.
At night, you get,
dude, we tell ghost stories, man. It's really fun.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. All right, well, we got to wrap it up with Phil, so.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks
hey,
for the update.
Yeah, thanks a lot for.
My pleasure, man.
And again, it's
again.
theWarHeroes.com.
Yeah, make sure you put the V in there, or else you get a rather depressing website.
The V?
The V? What do you mean? Wait.
The War Heroes.
Oh, the.
V.
Not
V. The War Heroes.
You get a very touching tribute to War Heroes, but maybe not what you were looking for as far as comedy.
TheWarHeroes.com.
And your show starts when at the...
September, Saturdays in September and October. I don't have the date in front of me, but it's right on the front page of the website there.
Okay.
Hey, did
cool.
you hear Punky is coming back in town, this time with Tony Hearn in the fall? Have
I
you heard
did
that?
Not, but if I'm in town, I would love to hang out with those guys again. It was really fun to hang out with Polly B.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. They didn't mention it to us. We had to hear it on their show,
yeah.
So they may be avoiding us this trip.
Last time there was all kinds of emails frantically, where are we staying and all this shit. And then this year it's like, yeah, we haven't heard Jack.
Jack.
That's hilarious.
That's because they sold out, man. They're mad at us.
Why are they mad at
that,
us?
That big pod show dollar now.
Yeah.
What are they mad at us for?
I don't know. It's fine. They do what they want. But, you know, we were just joking.
About what?
Selling out.
I'm not.
I knew it. You're just mean, man. It's evil.
I'm not.
Evil Scott. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit there, Professor Tom. I haven't called you in a while because I haven't been able to get my Skype working at all. We finally got it
sort of
working tonight.
You haven't been able to get it working?
No.
I would have never guessed.
It's only been a couple weeks while the studio at home has been... gone. We've been doing it at the old place where we
where Professor where Tom
yeah, where came. You were blindfolded and brought to
the TTN cave.
Right. Right, the Bat Cave.
That's a sweet studio place.
Yeah. Nice. That's where we're doing it now. We're kind of copping some bandwidth from somebody in the neighborhood. So, yeah, we're stealing bandwidth.
Ooh.
All right, man. Well, thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll definitely come out and see your show.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, that was Professor Tom.
PT.
Kinky Sex Radio. It's been a long time, dude, hasn't it?
Long time.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Don't we gotta get back to Phil, don't we?
Get back to Phil, yeah. Is he still here? Oh, yeah, he's still there. He looks like he's pouting.
Let's play some Secret Agent Man music for Phil to come back to the show. Come on, Phil. Come on, read the rest of your little messages. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, shit. So sorry.
All right, after my brain finishes leaking out my ear, I'll read the rest of the news.
Did you check out Professor Tom?
Of course. I love Professor Tom.
Sure you didn't appreciate it. Shut your mic off.
No, that's fine. I understand. I can't ask questions. I am a newsman. I would like to have participated in the interview of Professor Tom from Kinky Sex Radio. But you felt in your best judgment it was apparently the right thing to do to mute my microphone. And here we are talking about free speech and taking away rights. Of course, but of course.
Relax, man.
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
What do you want me to play? Oh.
This is a PSA, John. I'm going to pout for a couple of stories. If you downloaded the top secret documents and pictures from a military file server on the internets, and you know who you are, the military is asking that you please delete them. Thank you. All right, next story, John. Brokeback Mountain, this ain't. A farm worker was stabbed to death Saturday.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Again, a farm worker was stabbed to death Saturday after he made sexual advances to another man on farm property. Wren, Montana, 26, was taken into custody Saturday in connection with the death of Felipe Vaca, 35. Montana told sheriff's deputies that he and Vaca were drinking after work at the Lamb Holy Farm near Ocala.
Oh, that's...
Ocala, Florida.
I thought that's what he was drinking.
When
vodka.
Vodka made unwanted sex advances to him. Montana then stabbed Vodka in the upper torso of his body. The sheriff's report said the 26-year-old was arrested on charges of second-degree murder and possession of cocaine. He was booked into the Marion County Jail on no bond. Next story, John. Good news, the nation's budget deficit will drop. It will drop to $205
billion,
John, in the fiscal year that ends in September, less than half of what it was at its peak in 2004.
Wow.
And no, really, that's good news. Next story, John. If you're going to Bangkok, if you are going to Bangkok,
Bangkok or Bangkok?
Don't forget your passport. And if you happen to get your penis cut off, don't forget it when you go to get it reattached. A young Thai man lost his penis. I'm sorry.
I got some audio.
A young Thai man lost his penis to his wife wielding his knife wielding wife and then forgot to bring his severed member with him to the hospital.
I got audio of that.
Let's hear it. Faithfully delaying the reattachment operation, Sanalam Yatabana had a heated argument with his wife, Rangafaya Pangali, on Sunday night with his mistress. About his mistress, he went to bed and was rudely awakened
by his
hours later when his
knife.
Wife sliced off his member. In Sornlam's haste to get to the Bangram Rung Hospital,
in Bangkok. He left his penis behind in his bedroom. Bang Ramrung Hospital dispatched a nurse to retrieve the severed member for a reattachment operation. And here's where the story takes another turn for the worse. Although the nurse packed the penis in ice, too many of the cells had died by the time it was delivered to the hospital, killing all hopes.
Wow.
Of revival.
I heard on the way there, some woman got hit in the head, and she's suing Bang Rang Rum.
Bang Rang Rum? Yeah.
She threw the guy's member, and it hit this woman in the head,
right?
And now she's cockeyed. So she's suing Bang Rang Rum.
All right, next story.
Hey, I heard this today. Somebody was telling me a story. There's a guy in the neighborhood, around this neighborhood here. His license plate says Yug Yag 1. Yug
Yag
1.
1.
And then my friend figured it out. One gay guy spelled backwards.
That's Yag, out of sight.
Yug 1. All
Yag
right.
Yug. Keanu Reeves will not star in the next Bill and Ted movie because his agent fears it would ruin his career. Next story, John.
I need a computer.
Illinois town pretty stoked they didn't elect a serial killer as mayor that goes by the handle Trucker Buddy.
Or Rudy Giuliani.
That sounds familiar. A truck driver who police say has confessed to killing six people once ran for mayor of the southern Illinois town where he lives and had a family. Bruce Mendenhall, 56, was charged with criminal homicide in Nashville, Tennessee, after police arrested him at the same truck stop along Interstate 24, where a 25-year-old woman was found fatally shot 2 weeks ago. Police say Mendenhall, also known as Trucker Buddy, later confessed to killing five other people, another Nashville woman, two in Indiana, one in Georgia, and one in Alabama. Next story, John.
Wow.
This is a fun fact. Fun fact. This is the first time we've had fun facts in 100 episodes on Phil McCracken's News. That's me. Fun fact. Almost 3,000 public schools in Florida. There's almost 3,000 public schools in Florida, John. Five honor George Washington compared to 11 named after manatees. Next story, John. What is black and white and red all over?
A nun going through a revolving door with a spear through her head. No?
Well, not in this case. A man arrested in drive-by zebra shooting. An 18-year-old man was arrested Friday in connection with a fatal drive-by shooting of a zebra named Zambi. Joshua Romano of Red Oaks faces a charge of cruelty to animals. Zambi was shot dead July 5th as he grazed in a pasture at Highview Farms outside Wachachachi, said Lieutenant Kevin Ketchum of the Ellis County Sheriff's Office. The farm is also home to camels, llamas, and ring-tailed lemurs. Romano and four friends were swimming in a creek but had to leave because of rain. They spotted the zebra as they were driving down the road near the farm. That's when Romano pulled out a deer rifle and shot Zambi dead, Ketchum said. The animal was worth about $10,000. Romano's friends tried to prevent him from shooting the zebra, and the driver sped up to make the shooting more difficult, Ketchum said.
Wow.
Apparently it didn't work. Next story, John.
Hey, Dick. I mean, Phil.
Yes, John.
What's this? Clip, clap, clip, clap, clip, clap, bang! Clip, clap, clip, clap.
That, of course, would be an Amish drive-by shooting.
Oh, you're pretty good, man.
Next story, John. Man gets 21 months in prison for lying about funneling money to Hamas. Well, it's a good thing he didn't obstruct justice, lie under oath concerning the identity of an undercover CIA agent. A agent for political reasons, or he'd really be in trouble, wouldn't he? Next story, John.
Yeah.
Fake drug dealers sell fake heroin and fake LSD to fake junkies. But this is no fairy tale, John. Two people from Pawiqua and one from Kentucky are accused of peddling fake drugs, according to the Warren County Prosecutor's Office.
An undercover drug sting led indictments Friday, accusing Jerry Snowden, 26, and Roseanne Weed, 20, Paul the Pequot, and William Perry, 22, of Union, Kentucky. They were arrested June 28th in Deerfield Township after undercover officers said they were sold fake LSD and fake heroin. Each is charged with a felony trafficking in counterfeiting controlled substances and carrying a concealed weapon. If convicted, each could be sentenced to 18 months and fined $5,000. I never knew that, John. If you sell fake drugs, it's an offense. You can be charged for that.
Yeah.
As opposed to selling real drugs.
No doubt.
Where you can get charged for that. So I think the lesson here is don't sell drugs, whether fake or authentic.
Is this your last story?
No, this just in, John.
Because I got like 17 minutes left on my laptop.
I have one that just came off wire. This just in, John. The Brevard County doctor who was arrested for groping a woman while dressed as Captain America with a burrito in his pants will not go to jail. That just off the wire, John.
Wow.
If you were following that story.
Yeah.
Next story. Religious book salesman struck by lightning on a cloudless day. The Lord apparently not a big fan of religious-based fictional novels. A man making a trip from Puerto Rico to South Florida to raise money for his religious education remains hospitalized Monday after he was struck down by a bolt of lightning which flew from clear blue skies on Sunday. He was selling religious materials when he was hit. I heard a boom, and I looked. And the guy, and the guy jumped back, and he just laid there, stiff, said waitress Maria Martinez. Paramedics said Marina was not breathing and his heart was not beating when they arrived, but they were able to, thank the Lord, revive him and rush him to Jackson Memorial Hospital, where he is in critical condition. John, next story.
Wow.
Talk about irony and those pesky thetans. Scientologist parents who do not believe in psychiatric treatment are stabbed to death by their psycho daughter. In another ironic twist, dog rescued after falling into gorge named Dog Falls. In our last story tonight, John. Fake Chewbacca assaults phony Marilyn Monroe. A Chewbacca impersonator is accused of sexually assaulting a Marilyn Monroe impersonator in front of the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. The Wookiee then reportedly evaded arrest. According to the officer, Chewbacca allegedly took the platinum coffin actress hand and placed it on his Chewbaccan private parts as the characters performed for tips for tourists. The sidewalk in front of the Kodak Theater, which is part of the Hollywood at Highland Complex, is often crowded with characters that pose for tourist cameras and tips. On occasion, police have sent to the complex to separate feuding actors. Earlier in the year, for example, police arrested an actor in a Chewbacca costume after the tour guide told him to stop harassing a pair of Japanese tourists. Police are unsure if the same Wookiee is involved in Sunday's assault. The premiere for the new Harry Potter movie was underway during the alleged altercation. Chewbacca, whose real name is not available, fled before police arrived. However,
hey, Wookiee here.
Torres is sure the Harry assailant would be caught soon. He's always there at theater, he said. And that's the news, John.
All right.
On this historic episode 100. Wow. I think I can see why you didn't get nominated for producer of the year.
Shut your ass up. Get out, would you?
Of course.
This is the shit leaks from my tinnitus after being bombarded by audio.
Yeah.
The obnoxious
get out.
Intrusion of Professor Tom into my news. The joke.
Wow.
Whoa. I think he was a little upset as an understatement there, John.
All right, we got to go, man, and we're not going to have any outro music.
All right, then.
All right, this has been episode 100 of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we'd like to thank our special guest, Tom, Professor Tom, even with the technical difficulties. You heard it here live that we are live, sort of.
And we'll be back September 9th.
That's right.
John, September 9th.
And maybe we'll just bring back a whole cast of characters that used to be on the show.
Possibly.
Yeah. No
you
doubt.
You know, I was hoping Satan or the Lord would drop by. And
I guess we ran out of time.
Yeah. 100 doesn't mean anything to them.
Probably still on their way.
How can we get them to come by? I don't know.
They could have been stuck by a train, man.
Or who's the elf that works for Santa?
Alfie.
That used to stop by? Alfie the elf? He didn't come by?
I think
by.
101, though, I'll be here. Because, yeah. You know, we have a date scheduled, and it's more of a
You
demand.
Think word will get around?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the word
I'll
doesn't have to
fax.
Get around to the Lord. I mean, he knows. He knows right now.
I'll fax the Lord.
He knew before we knew.
Right.
John.
He knew before we knew.
And so he's probably telling everybody.
He knew before Z knew.
That's right. Funny. That's a good song lyric. It's got a good hook. He knew before Z knew.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
All right.
We'll be back soon.
Later.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.